Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you'll be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, at optimistic.tv, we have officially begun releasing the first few episodes of our new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video variety talk show, Optimistic, which features live visionary art, soul share interviews, retreat guests here at the Mystic Manor, as well as live musical performances. I'm also super excited to announce that we are currently making plans to release the rest of season one on my personal favorite online streaming service. So stay tuned to optimistic.tv to follow the unfolding development of this exciting Optimistic expansion, as we'll be posting more info and release dates there soon. And in the meantime, be sure to check out, of course, the first few episodes at optimistic.tv as well. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome. Here we grow again. So grateful to be back with you guys as always. And always, we are going to continue with the Monday path we've been following for several weeks now with reading The Golden Key and additional essays by Emmett Fox. And yeah, we're getting down to it. We have only a few left. There was, 23 total, and we probably got, six or so left. So maybe a couple more of these episodes to break down the essays by Emmett, written almost 100 years ago. And for those of you who haven't heard me talk about it before or heard any of these episodes, they're really short, concise essays that I like to read and sort of explore. And the reason I got kind of turned on to them initially was I have a book called The Golden Key that's coming out here. I was aiming for 11/11, but yeah, the creative process with writing is quite a bit. So it looks like it's going to be more like December. I'll have a date soon. But I'm actually gifting the book to the world. And when I had the download, essentially in a dream of what the book would be about in a very unique way, I'm going to sort of gamify it and give it away and this whole thing. At goldenkey.gift, which isn't up yet, but will be. I went and I started looking to see, has anyone used this name for a book or, anything out there? And first thing I found was this essay from 1931 by Emmett Fox. Well, it turns out I was kind of shocked in the moment because when I read the description of the essay, when I found it, it was basically him talking about how to overcome issues or troubles or challenges in life with a certain scientific prayer technique, as he called it. And he was approaching it in a very much playful, gamified way that I am doing with my book, which is, he said basically, hey, don't believe me, try this out for yourself and see the results. And the amount of synchronicity with this book has been next level. I haven't even shared them all with you guys. It's been so much and super excited to get it to you. It's just about to go to the editor now. And it's going to be fun and exciting. And then I had a listener reach out to me and said, hey, if you don't know all of Emmett's work, you should check out the other essays and, this other book he wrote on the true teachings of Jesus and what he believes Jesus really meant. And so I decided I would do that very thing, explore these essays with you guys. So I haven't even read them all yet. I've read the ones that have been on the show, and then I just, in true fashion of how I like to approach things, just kind of take it as organically as possible. So as I'm reading it, as you're hearing it, and then I'll take a few minutes to kind of explore what the idea and concept that he was talking about and what my take is on it. And there's even been a few times where I've disagreed a little bit, but for the most part, I really appreciate his work and think there's some real value there and obviously feel a connection to it with the synchronicity of the Golden Key and everything like that. And by the way, for any of you guys who want to make sure you're in the know of when it will be My book will be coming out. Like I said, I'm going to be gifting it and then having a really fun manifestation gamified thing that we can all do together. You can go, if you go over to positivehead.com now, if you register your email, then that way you'll be notified as soon as, you know, I have updates. Of course, you'll hear me talk about it on the show too, but that's just another way to kind of stay in the loop via email for now. So, all right, let's dive in and let's read the essay. We're going to get to, normally I get to about three of them. Looks like one coming up is actually way longer than the other, so maybe I'll do that next time. And I'll see how far I get. How about that? Okay, this one is called The Flee to the Mountains by Emmett Fox. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. The moment you catch yourself thinking a negative thought, you should reject it instantly. Immediately switch your attention to the presence of God. Do not stop to say goodbye to the error thought, but break the connection instantly and occupy your mind with good. You'll be surprised how many difficulties will begin to melt away out of your life. Indeed, we may say that when error presents itself to consciousness, the first 5 seconds are golden. In the text quoted above, Jesus teaches this lesson in his own graphic way. The immediate application of these words was, of course, to the coming siege of Jerusalem. But the idea involved is eternal. The holy place is your consciousness, and the abomination of desolation is any negative thought, because a negative thought means belief in the absence of God at the point concerned. Those who are in Judea are those who believe that prayer does change things. To flee to the mountains means to pray, especially that quick switching of the thought to the presence of God, which I have mentioned. Okay, cool. Very short. I love this one. It instantly makes me think of the origins of this show. This show, some of you maybe have heard me talk about it. The origins of it were going, you know, what, five plus years ago now, and having the idea, I was literally talking to all my employees and saying, if I could just monitor each of your thoughts and I could put them in a bucket, how many are positive each day and how many are negative, I could tell you, and you know, just seeing that information, I could tell you how your life is. And you know, wouldn't it be cool if you had some kind of thing that would, like, you know, zap you every time you had a negative thought to, like, snap you out of it? And that's when one of my employees at the time came up to me and told me about, you know, having a bracelet or a rubber band, and his psychiatrist had shown him, hey, use this as a tool and snap yourself when you're having a negative thought, just to break it and bring attention to it. And so I said, oh, what an interesting idea. And that led to the Positive Head bracelet, which then led to the real reason for behind it all, I think, ultimately to lead me to starting the actual podcast. And that was the original idea for positivehead.com, you know, was to have the bracelet and everything there. And so this instantly makes me think of it. For me, when a negative thought comes in, the most important thing is not to beat yourself up for having it. That only makes matters worse, right? Shaming yourself is the greatest defense. Like, if you observe yourself in a negative tailspin, sometimes you'll just be, you know, you could be 10 seconds down a thought and then snap out of it, right? And like, oh my gosh, I was just really imagining awful things for no reason. And then send yourself love where you're at is what I recommend. You know, and like he says here, just move along. Or, you know, sometimes one of the things that he said here is don't even say goodbye to the error thought, just break the connection instantly. I sometimes say, well, not goodbye, I would be like, clear, you know, kind of playfully, right? So I think, you know, doing that, of course, it's all preference, right? What he's getting at here is the less energy you give to it, the better. However, I think if you make it sort of playful and even joke about it or enlighten it, right? They say laugh at the devil and he runs away, right? And so I think bringing humor and levity to it is a very, very important piece when you catch yourself. But most important point I want to make is catch yourself and also then rethink the thought. So if you think, you know, this, you're fine, you all of a sudden catch yourself, you're 10 seconds in and you just were thinking of this, how awful it's going to go in the, you know, presentation you have to give at work or school next week. And then you just imagined it, you played out the scenario, right, where it's the worst of the worst. Catch yourself And then actually, instead of, you can break, like he's saying, certainly the less energy, the better. But another thing you can do is reinforce with a positive thought. That's really the thing that I found to be very useful. It's super powerful if you take and rethink those things in a very, you know, in the way you would want to see it play out, right? So then take the moment, deep breath, send yourself love where you're at. It's okay, you know, that you slipped into that state for however long. Now, all that matters, every moment's another chance to turn it all around, right? So now turn and rewrite the story. Sit there and use your powerful imagination to drum up the vision of what it would be like going the exact opposite direction, the way you'd really want it to go. That is, I believe, super, super powerful when you've become a being that has evolved enough in your consciousness where you are, you know, catching these things and then it's like rewriting the code, right? If we're like computers and it's like a program, right? You just rewrote the program and to create more of what you want to see, right? You're telling the tale. You're telling the story of what it is that you envision. And that is powerful. All right, next one. Now you must do it. This one's very short too. The only part of our religion that is real is the part we express in our daily lives. Ideals that we do not act out in practice are mere abstract theories and have no real meaning. Actually, such pretended ideals are a serious detriment because they drug the soul into a false sense of security. If you want to receive any benefit from your religion, you must practice it, and the place to practice it is right here where you are, and the time to do it is now. Divine love is the only real power. If you can realize this fact, even dimly, it will begin to heal and harmonize every condition in your life within a few hours. The way to realize this fact is to express it in every word you speak, in every business transaction, in every social activity, and in fact, in every phase of your life. An early New Thought writer said, "Knead love into the bread you bake. Wrap strength and courage in the parcel you tie for the woman with the weary face. Hand trust and candor with the coin you pay to the man with the suspicious eyes." This is beautifully said, and it sums up the practice of the presence of God. Yeah, I love this. Definitely beautifully said. Making it a practice to send what you can see someone maybe, you know, lacking or at least imagining to lack, right? Disconnecting themselves from the trust that is the universe, you know, experiencing having a weary face because you've experienced so much separation from source and your power. And, you know, someone who has essentially been swimming upstream, right? And making it your once again, like a game, making it like part of your joy, part of your way of interacting with the world, you know, kneading love into the bread you bake, handing trust to the man with the suspicious eyes, sending, you know, love to someone even when, you know, they are looking at you like there's something wrong, right? It's like I've said before. Think of it like, you know, an animal caught in a trap. If you were to come across an animal in the woods, it may snarl and hiss and growl at you if its leg is caught in a trap and you go to try and set it free. So anyone you see in that state, think of them like they're caught in a trap. It really, really will help to shift your perspective to, you know, see the truth of where they're actually at and to soften, you know, the reactive energy that you typically maybe have felt and many other people would feel, you know, in the past, the way you would have approached it. Ram Dass said, I practice turning people into trees, which means appreciating them just the way they are. And I love that. Like, once again, it's the same as seeing the animal as if they're caught in a trap, right? Seeing them as, you know, hey, this tree, you're never looking at a tree and saying, oh my gosh, this tree, it should be this, it should be that. The branches should be taller, it should be shorter, it should be taller, it should be whatever. You're never doing that. But yet we do that to humans. And what are humans other than emanations of the universe at a certain point in their evolution, the same way a tree is, right? So, you know, it's time for us to outgrow that. And anyone listening to this broadcast is very much ready, or you wouldn't be listening to this broadcast. Okay, we'll read one more here. This one is, what is scientific prayer? Scientific prayer, or spiritual treatment, is really the lifting of your consciousness above the level where you have met your problem. If only you can rise high enough in thought, the problem will solve itself. This is really the only problem you have to raise in consciousness. The more, quote-unquote, difficult, which means the more deeply rooted in your thoughts is the problem concerned, the higher you will have to rise. What is called a small trouble will yield to a slight raise in consciousness. What is called a serious difficulty will require a relatively higher rise. What is called a terrible danger or hopeless problem will require a considerable rise in consciousness to overcome it. But that is the only difference. Do not waste time trying to straighten out your own or other people's problems by manipulating thought. That gets you nowhere. But raise your consciousness, and the action of God will do the rest. Jesus healed sick people and reformed many sinners by raising his consciousness above the picture they presented. He controlled the wind and the waves in the same way. He raised the dead because he was able to get as high in consciousness as is necessary to do this. To raise your consciousness, you must positively withdraw your attention from the picture for the time being, the golden key, which is the golden key, and then concentrate gently upon spiritual truth. You may do this by reading the Bible or any spiritual book that appeals to you, by going over any hymn or poem that helps you in this way, or by the use of one or more affirmations, just as you like. I know many people who have secured the necessary elevation of consciousness by browsing at random through the Bible. A man I know who was saved in a terrible shipwreck by quickly reading the 91st Psalm. Another man healed himself of a supposedly hopeless disease by working on the one affirmation, God is love, until he was able to realize something of what the greatest of all statements must really mean. If you work with affirmations, be careful not to get tense, but there is no reason why you should not employ all these methods in turn and also any others that you can think of. Sometimes a talk with a spiritual person gives you just the lift that you need. It matters not how you rise so long as you do rise. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Yeah, this is great. This is just the art of focus, right? The art of manifestation is very closely tied to the art of focus, learning how to focus your attention on something that is in the vibrational pool of where you want to go, right? If you think about it, like we often talk about here on the show, that you're sifting through different timelines and potentials from this moment forward. There's so many versions of you that Source, God, Higher Self plays out, right? How do you get to the, what's the path to navigating to the one that is the most, rewarding, most fulfilling, most high vibe, right? Well, if you are trying to move things around out in the physical world to make them happen, that is like acting on the effect. The cause is the vibrational pool from which you are navigating. So wherever you are, if you all of a sudden are focusing deeply on love and gratitude and abundance and the power of who and what you truly are, you are literally shifting reality and timelines with that energy. And that's essentially what he's saying here. Scientific prayer is learning how to focus, and really making it your art form. And that is really, you don't need to go buy a tool. You don't need to, be part of a particular exclusive club. You don't need you need nothing more than what you currently have, right? It costs you nothing to start focusing on focusing better. And that is your prayer. Your whole life is a prayer. Every word is a prayer. How do you scientifically approach it? Well, scientists take a process-oriented approach to getting results, right? Because they understand if I add, 2 parts oxygen, 1 part hydrogen, I'm going to get water, right? It's a chemist putting things in the beaker. They know if I do this, that, and the other, I'm going to get the particular result. This is the same thing here. You're becoming a scientist of consciousness when you start behaving and approaching challenges in this way, and understanding, hey, the more the the more difficult the challenge, the greater the ultimate result, and the more it's going to take from you to overcome, right? You're continuing to level up as a being. So don't look at some big challenge as, oh my gosh, I must have done something wrong. How about telling the story that you've done something right, which is why you've got to that point. You came to that boss in the video game, right? And now you're telling the story in a way that transmutes it from a lump of coal into the diamond that it's meant to become for you and for your experience and to level you up. Thank you guys for helping to level me up with this show and participating and co-creating. I love you all so, so much. I am going to sign off for now, but the good news is I'll be back in another now moment. Till then, journey well. Love you all so, so much. Also, before we cue up today's song, I wanted to remind you about the Game with the Universe on our website, where you can choose the first number that comes to your mind and it'll pull up that episode number of the podcast. I've been saying this is a great way to co-create synchronicity and magic with your higher self for quite some time. And if you go to positivehead.com/universe, there is a super fun and simple interface to play this game with your higher self. I firmly believe just by setting the intention to play in this way, it opens up the door for magic, and it's a synchronistic way to hone in on nuggets of wisdom out of the huge catalog of episodes that are specifically appropriate for you at this time in your journey to becoming the next greatest and greatest version of yourself. And it also makes for a super fun way to spark the curiosity of friends and family by having them choose a number. So they'll hopefully go and check out their number as well, which I greatly appreciate because it helps us to spread the word about the podcast. Once again, the address is positivehead.com/universe. And as a quick reminder, if you're curious to learn more about Purium Superfoods and why I take them almost every day, be sure to also check out positivehead.com/transformation. On this journey of becoming the next greatest and grandest version of ourselves that we have all embarked upon, I cannot stress the importance of managing your physical vibration enough. And quite honestly, Purium has put together the simplest plan I've found to do so. I have my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, at least 5 times a week. Once again, to learn more about the Purium Transformation, go to positivehead.com/transformation. Or if you want to keep it simple and just try out my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, you can go straight over to ishoppurium.com and be sure to use code POSITIVEHEAD for 25% off. I'll spell that for you. It's ishoppurium.com. And be sure to use your Positive Head 25% coupon code.
How so? the templates work in the field of neuroacoustic